There's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here's what the Bible says about Jesus Christ and about Adam. Now, we came from Adam, but we've been cut off and put into Christ. We've been fixed into this tree called Christ. We've been transplanted, taken out of Adam, put into Christ. And if so, just like the characteristics of Adam were ours when we were part of that tree, now is these characteristics that should now be part of ours. 1 Corinthians 15, it speaks here about verse 47. The first man is from the earth, earthy. That's Adam. The second man, Christ, is from heaven. And verse 48, this applies to us. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. We know that very well. That we all lived for so many years as unconverted people with the character of Adam coming forth from us, gushing out like rivers of dead water. Anger and bitterness and jealousy and all the filthy things that gushed out of us. And now we've been planted in Christ. Why are you content with trickles of goodness and trickles of patience and trickles of humility and trickles of purity? Why are you happy with that? As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And verse 48, as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. And just as we have, listen to this, this is a promise. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, verse 49, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. I want to take that as a promise from God. Lord, just as for so many years I have borne the image of the earthy, of Adam, so faithfully, I believe your promise is true that I shall bear the image of the heavenly. That things are going to change in my life as I allow the Holy Spirit to get me focused on my destination and major on that while I do all these other secondary things. It's very important. It's the most important thing in the Christian life. That in everything, I never lose sight of my destination. If I've got to go to Nagpur, I'm not going to get off at Hyderabad, or if I'm going to Delhi, I'm not going to get off at Hyderabad or Nagpur or Itarsi or Gwalior. No. I want to get off at Delhi. Whatever interesting things there may be along the way, I can enjoy them. But I don't lose sight of my final destination, and I'm not going to get off the train and branch off into some side issue, which, however exciting it may be, is not God's final destination for me. God's bought a ticket for me, and I know where that ticket is for. It's for my final destination, to be like Christ. And the Bible says that if I have this hope in me, 1 John 3:3, I will purify myself as He is pure. And everything I do will be in relation to that total picture of Jesus. So, when I look at Jesus, I see a heavenly man who lived on this earth, and he spoke and lived bringing the values of heaven before people. I am to bear that image. People who meet me, talk to me, must see that this man's interested in something outside of this earth. Do people get that impression from you when in your place of work, that your sense of values is different? I'm not saying that we preach the gospel to everybody at our place of work. That may not be appropriate. There may be a time and a season for that. We got to do it only when God opens a door. But I'm talking about your whole value system. Do people see your value system is different? I remember when those refugees from Sri Lanka some years ago came to the refugee camp in Tamil Nadu, and some of our brothers contacted them, and a number of them were converted, really gripped. And then in that refugee camp, one day one of those brothers, their hut caught fire. He was not there. And his hut caught fire and everything in his hut was burnt. And you know, these refugees had come from Sri Lanka with everything they owned there. They converted into cash and brought it as currency in Indian rupees, and they had it in their hut. And I don't know how much he lost, 50,000 rupees or something, in currency notes, all burnt up. Everything gone. And when he came back from where he had gone, people told him, you know, your hut is burned. And they thought he'd be so distressed that all his life's earnings were burnt up. And he wasn't. He said, well, in any case, I'm only a pilgrim. And if God allowed it to be burnt, that's fine. I can start working again and earn something. He was a fisherman. Now, he would not have said that 2 years earlier when he was not converted. But because he was born again, and his born again was a thorough new birth, and he was radically gripped by the message of discipleship that he heard in our midst, his life changed more in 2 years than other people have changed in 20 years. It's not a question of time. It's a question of how soon we get focused on what is most important. He got focused on what is most important pretty quickly. And what is the most important thing? So when his mind was renewed to think and to place a right value on earthly things and heavenly things, he didn't get so disturbed when that type of misfortune took place. It says in Romans chapter 12, Romans 12, you know, it says how this transformation into the likeness of Christ takes place. It says in Romans 12, verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, that is, into the likeness of Christ, by the renewing of your mind. So there it tells us that transformation begins in our mind. Just like conformity to the world also is first of all in the mind. You know, when a person dresses in a very worldly, let's say a sister dresses in a very immodest, worldly way, the problem is not with her dress. No. The problem is with her mind. The worldliness is not in her dress. The worldliness is in her mind. And if you get her to change her dress and wear a modest set of clothes, you haven't changed her. Not at all. Because her mind is still the same. It's the wolf in sheep's clothing. And first she was the wolf in wolf's clothing. Now you get the wolf to wear sheep's clothing and you think she's a believer and make her sit there like a pious saint. She's not a pious saint. She's just a wolf. In fact, she's more dangerous when she's in a wolf in sheep's clothing than when she's a wolf in a wolf's clothing. So changing the dress doesn't change a person. Now I want to say to you that you can come to the meetings in the church dressed in a particular way. But has it changed in your mind? Worldliness is in the mind. If you don't deal with it there, you're just a hypocrite, pretending to be holy on the outside. And the same way, holiness is also in the mind. From there, it penetrates all our life. In other words, to paraphrase those words, it is in your value system. You see, in our mind, we have a certain value system. A value system that we have developed through many years of living in this world. We went to school and developed a certain value system. We learned in the world that winning is everything. That's a very popular statement in leadership circles. Winning is everything. Well, I say, winning is not everything for me. If I've got to cheat other people and trample on other people and win like that, and I don't want to win. I certainly want to win, but not at the cost of exploiting others and depriving others of their rights and doing all that and cheating. And no, to be upright and Christ-like is everything for me. And then, by all means, come first in your class. By all means, excel in your profession, but not at the cost of losing Christ-likeness and uprightness of character. That's because of my value system. Now, another person doesn't have that value system. He says, making money is everything, and he doesn't care how he makes it. Well, I'm not against people becoming rich or getting a good salary. It's all a question of how you do it. It's all a question of what you're living for. If it comes as a result of your seeking God's kingdom first and other things just being added to you, okay. But if you spend your life pursuing that, you got the wrong value system. So, in my mind, I have a certain value system. I place value on certain things and I don't place value on other things. For example, why are you disturbed if you heard 20 people say bad things about you? Does it disturb you? You heard 20 people say some really nasty things about you which are not even true. It disturbs you because your value system is this: man's opinion is very, very important. It used to disturb me. It doesn't disturb me so much now, because I have changed my value system. I have changed my thinking and convinced myself from God's word, which is true, that man's opinion is fit for the garbage bin. Okay, 20 opinions, 20 pieces of garbage. And I've also convinced myself that God's opinion is very important. Now, 300 years ago in France, 400 years ago, there was a lady in France, or 450 years ago, or something like that, lady in France called Madame Guyon. I think in the 1600s she lived in, right? And she made this statement once. Listen to it carefully. I'm more afraid of one reproach of my conscience than of the outcry and criticism of all human beings. Boy. Imagine if you can say that. That I'm more disturbed by one voice from my conscience than all the evil speaking of all the men in the world. If you can live like that, boy, I tell you, you'll be Christ-like pretty quickly. It won't take long. You change your value system. Say, the voice of my conscience is very important. What people say, not so important. Now, if the man who gives me his opinion is a very, very godly man who loves me, then his opinion may be important, because his opinion may also be God's opinion. That's different. But if worldly people say something about me, I couldn't care less for that. The voice of my conscience would be far more important. That's what I mean by changing my value system. if I lose something spiritually, that should disturb me more than if I lose money. I mean, we're all disturbed if we lost money. I don't mean 5 or 10 rupees. But supposing you suddenly lost 20,000 rupees one day. Well, maybe some people who can write it off, but for most of us that would be a tremendous shock to lose 20,000 rupees. But what if you lost the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life? Would that also disturb you? God, I don't feel the anointing today in my life. I don't sense the anointing of God in my service for you. I feel I've lost some of that fire, that passion, that devotion. God, it seems to have gone. Does that disturb you? Or is it only 20,000 rupees that disturbs you? I'm not saying money is not important. I'm just saying we got to put it a little lower down in the scale than the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying money is garbage. No, money is very useful. But put it a little lower down the scale than the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Change your value system.